5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, welcome back into the whole show. We're powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Joining me a little bit later, we're going to have Harrison Wind of DNVR Nuggets talk to us about what happened last night. And should Nuggets fans be very concerned going forward that teams are figuring out, hey, double them up because nobody else is going to beat you? First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Shout out to Miranda Simpson. Having someone local has never been more important. She's here and ready to help you with all of your insurance needs. She's your local State Farm insurance agent. She went to Colorado State University, so let her help you. She's local. She gets it. She focuses on auto insurance, homeowners insurance, renters insurance, life insurance, and business insurance in Northern Colorado. She's with State Farm at 970-223-7800. Woody Page tweeted this out yesterday late afternoon. With Bolin Kaiser lawsuit over, Broncos Joe Ellis will announce plan for new ownership quickly. According to his sources, Woody Page's sources, six candidates to bid, Peyton Manning and John Elway will be in two different groups. Another Colorado-based group is doing the research for bid. So, if it comes down to a Peyton Manning group or a John Elway group, obviously that's the world's most obvious poll question. Didn't go that route today. We went coach route. Who are you going with? Now, a lot more people are saying Peyton Manning. But here's the deal. I get that Manning is relatively, you know, recently unretired, and so more younger fan base is going to know him. Players are going to know him and all that stuff. Does that matter in the NFL? I mean, you're drafting guys. You're re-signing guys based on what they can do. I mean, Peyton Manning came to Denver because of John Elway as the GM. So, yeah, sure, your general manager and your coach certainly matter. But teams are making money and they're in the NFL regardless. So it's not like Manning's going to make you more money necessarily. You all have a salary cap still. That doesn't change anything. So what I'm looking at the popularity contest here. Now, if we're talking general manager and you had to pick between the two, well, you already know John Elway's time as general manager is up. He was really good for a stint and then got really bad for a stint. Peyton Manning's an unknown. So this is a different conversation than the popularity contest between the two guys. John Elway is a legend in the state of Colorado. An absolute legend. Peyton Manning is a really awesome addition to the Colorado sports Hall of Fame type situation. But is he legendary like John Elway? John Elway, every Super Bowl the Broncos have, John Elway is almost, you could almost say solely responsible, not solely, but very much responsible for. He was the quarterback, one of the best quarterbacks when they won their first two. He was the GM VP when they won in 2015. He brought Peyton Manning to Denver. Look at their business stuff. There's no question that Manning's a growing businessman. I mean, he does the whole Monday Night Football thing is theirs. The Mannings own that. They sold it to ESPN. They could sell it, or ESPN's renting it, so to speak. They could do more. It's a very genius idea. Manning's on all of these commercials. You know, you haven't seen. There was a time where you couldn't have a commercial break without Peyton Manning being in an ad. He has done so much. John Elway, on the other hand, let's look at his career. He was the co-owner of the arena football team, the Colorado Crush, when they started in 2002. They won. They canceled that league in 2008. I mean, they tried it. There was a time when that league had some buzz, but it's hard to compete with the NFL, man. It's just hard. It's difficult, and it's hard to compete with college football. There will never be. I love all these, like, mini football programs that are around the area that say, like, hey, we're semi-pro football. No. There's no such thing. Semi-pro football is the NCAA. That is semi-pro football. So Elway ran that team, or he was co-owner at that time, and there was a lot of buzz around that side of it. He was a chairman in the AFL for a while, and a lot of people go, well, yeah, there you go. He failed as the chairman there because the AFL fell apart. That's just the nature of this game. I don't see any—I mean, look at these teams. We had the Arena Football League or whatever it was called. It was different. Indoor Football Arena or Indoor Football League was up here. They changed their name to the Crush as well, which they thought was kind of a genius move because people would think, oh, the Crush are coming back? Well, it was just a weird deal. And then that thing crumbled as well. You just can't do it. It was cool for a moment, but ultimately there's no competing with the NFL and the NCAA. So he was the guy that said, let's get rid, we should be done with it. He saw the writing on the wall and they moved on. He's the owner of 4 steakhouse restaurants. They're all named Elway's, as you obviously know. You got a lot of big stuff there. One of those is in DIA. And again, those are restaurants. That's successful. Again, it's way different than a team. He's owned 5 auto dealerships called John Elway Autos. Those things grew and grew and grew and became absolutely huge. He sold them to AutoNation in 1997 for $82.5 million. And, of course, he had some kind of licensing agreement with AutoNation. He removed his name from them, so that's why you don't see it anymore. But he did that because he might want to get back in at some point with the Elway name. So you guys are looking at this all wrong. You're looking at it like, oh, we already know what Elway did. He couldn't draft or anything. Elway's not coming back in. Peyton Manning, I don't think, would come back in and take George Payton's job. That's not what Elway would do. Elway is already, if he wanted to do that, he'd be doing it now. He would have never hired George Payton. He would have stayed involved. He's not going to own a team and be Jerry Jones. He's not going to be a part of this group, I should say. He just wants a piece of the pie because, number one, he cares about the Broncos. For you to deny that he cares about the Broncos means that you have no idea who John Elway is. This guy bleeds blue and orange. He does. Now, Peyton Manning, on the other hand, everyone wants to use the, well, you know, more younger guys know him. I saw some polls today. There were polls all over. That's why I didn't do one. It's Peyton Manning or John Elway. And it's Peyton Manning leading in almost every poll I've seen by a landslide. And people keep using the, well, he's relevant now. You know, people know him. Kids that are growing up, players that are currently playing right now know him. And I'm like, does that matter? Or should we be looking at their business ventures? And to say, listen, either one of those guys is going to be great. I'm not going to deny if Peyton Manning gets this, great, fantastic. But if you're doing an actual poll and voting, which group would you want in? I mean, Elway has proven that he can run successful businesses. He can run an NFL team as a co-owner. It doesn't get much more. No, they wouldn't be majority owners. It's a group. Well, Caddy Swami says, no way Elway can be the majority owner. Same for Manning. They'll be figureheads. Exactly. It's a group. It's a buying group. Neither one of them have the amount of money even close. That's why it's John Elway Group, Peyton Manning Group, according to Woody Page. Just want to clear that up. But who's the bigger figurehead? Who's the guy that's a better bit? They would be a part of the group, though, meaning they're bringing their expertise. It's not just like, hey, I threw my money in and I'm off to golf. They would be a part of a ownership group that would be figurehead, but would also be adding their expertise as a businessman. It does not mean that John Elway suddenly is there on draft night and calling who's going to be picked with the 9th pick of the 2022 draft. That's not how it's going. Manning's got the biggest forehead, and Elway's got the bigger teeth. So, I mean, again, this is the never-ending battle at this point. I just look at it, I guess, like, who's a bigger Colorado legend? There's no even debate here. It's John Elway. Guy was drafted in the 80s. He grew up with this team. He brought this team to several Super Bowls. He brought this team their first Super Bowls. He came back and did it as a GM, a VP. I know the last 5 years, the last 6 years have been rough. But you cannot deny that John Elway was great. I mean, from 2000, when did he take over? Was that 2008 to obviously last year? They won a lot. They won the AFC West with Tim freaking Tebow. They beat the New England or the Pittsburgh Steelers with Tim freaking Tebow in the first round of the playoffs. And then you moved on, and next year you get Peyton Manning. You get Peyton Manning. Oh, Brady, that was easy. Then he could attract, after Manning was here, he just attracted everybody who wanted to come play with Manning. Last time I checked, their defense was pretty damn good when Tim Tebow was the quarterback. They were winning games and keeping them in games, and then Tebow would do his weird magic within like the last 5 or 6 minutes of a football game. So it's, listen, neither one, I mean, you have Manning involved, Elway involved, it's going to be a good thing. It'd be awesome, either one. But if you're actually wanting to do a vote, it's like, what makes more sense? And how much will they do as being a group? No, you're not going to just throw money in and that's your investment, it's game over. You will be a part of some kind of a board that's trying to determine what's next for your team. So I think Elway would be the guy. But again, this isn't one of my takes necessarily. This is a, either way is cool. But if you really want me to vote, I'll vote Elway. Great. But if it's Manning, fantastic. 16 minutes after the hour, Harrison Wind of DNVR Nuggets coming up next. What went wrong last night, especially those last 2 minutes? Oh my goodness. Are we in trouble, Nuggets fans? Harrison Wind coming up next. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear Bears basketball on the Voice of the Bears, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Harrison Wind with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
20 minutes after the hour, this is the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We've been talking about it. The Nuggets lose last night to the Clippers, 87-85. On to talk with us about what happened in that game. I mean, they were up by 25, but of course that last 2 minutes was mind-boggling. Harrison Wind of DNVR Nuggets. Harrison, my friend, I think Michael Malone put it perfectly. If you can't get the ball to Nikola Jokic, you're in big, big trouble.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bit of an understatement even, but that's what happened over the last couple minutes of the fourth quarter. I tweeted this out late last night, but there were two straight possessions where Denver spent the entire shot clock trying to get the ball to Nikola Jokic with around 2 minutes remaining. He was guarded by Nick Batum on both of them. Denver spent the whole shot clock trying to get him the ball. They couldn't. And one ended in a turnover, I think. One ended in a Faku missed three, and then the Clippers came down and hit two absolutely back-breaking threes. And that was the game. So it was kind of symbolic of an area where Denver struggled. They couldn't get the MVP of the ball.
I noticed this a little bit against the Thunder last week, and it just they looked rattled almost, like they'd never seen that before, where they're essentially bracketing Nikola Jokic. You get a guy fronting him, you get a guy on the backside just ready to go just in case they do get the ball through. It just seemed like the Nuggets, for the most part, they looked lost. We've been saying it all season, Harrison, without the Joker, they struggle on the floor. Now we're starting to get a little concerned here because even with the Joker, there's stretches, major stretches, where they tend to look lost trying to get the ball to their MVP.
Yeah, well, it's definitely not the first time they've seen it because a couple weeks ago they played the Clippers and Ty Lue, and I think in that game, Ty Lue kind of laid the blueprint for this new style of defense, how teams are defending Nikola Jokic, and we've seen a couple teams do it, you know, recently. Like you said, they kind of bracket him. They throw, you know, a couple guys on him. They're pretty much zoning up around him in a lot of cases. And when you're doing that against a team with not a ton of shooting and not a ton of other guys that can hurt you, it works. So I really think the Clippers laid this blueprint a couple weeks ago. Teams have been deploying it, and LA went back to it last night, and it worked.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. If you can get that blueprint and figure it out, and again, it sounds easy, but the only way to solve it, Harrison, is you got to have somebody else be a consistent scorer. You got to have, and you can't go 4-33 from the three-point line either. That certainly helps. You have to have somebody making shots on the outside. That's the only way you're going to free up your MVP.
Yeah, and you know, Denver didn't hit anything last night. I think Monte Morris was the only guard who made a basket. The only guard that played last night who actually made a basket was Monte Morris. So that's tough. And I know Will Barton gets a lot of slander, you know, at least in my world. They could have definitely used him last night.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And listen, we know, like Aaron Gordon, that kind of night, 30 points and 12 boards, that kind of night most of the time is going to work. But when teams neutralize your biggest weapon in Nikola Jokic, it doesn't work. That also doesn't work. So Gordon doing his thing was great, but you got to have your shooters. You got to have your guards making big plays on the outside, because that's what's going to congest the inside there. So you're forced to go with Gordon ultimately. So, I mean, it's just frustrating all the way around.
Yeah, it certainly is. And it's not like Denver has a ton of options to go to right now. It's pretty clear that Michael Malone trusts a certain group of guys. Monte, Faku, Austin Rivers, Aaron Gordon, Nikola Jokic. Like, those are the five guys he trusts the most, I'd say. Those are the five guys who really were on the floor late in that fourth quarter and for most of the fourth quarter, and they couldn't deliver. And, you know, outside of that, I don't really know who he fully 100% trusts right now.
And that's a tough deal. I mean, I'm listening to the post-game presser with Coach Malone. I was actually going through it this morning, Harrison, and, you know, he had mentioned, I think there was a question, hey, why did you think about calling a timeout there in that last mm-hmm. two-minute stretch when you could just feel the Clippers absorbing the win, so to speak. He flat out said, I didn't trust my guys to get the ball inbounds if we called a timeout.
Yeah, that was a weird response, I got to say. Particularly yeah. when he's talking about not taking a timeout on, you know, the last possession of a game. Like, you save a timeout so you have one to advance the ball on, you know, the last possession of a game like that. And even coming down the floor, I mean, it was obvious watching in real time that Nikola Jokic wasn't going to get a great look up, and he pulls up from, you know, well beyond three on that Nuggets last possession and doesn't get it to drop. I mean, I don't care how bad, you know, your execution is late or in a night, but, I mean, you just call a timeout there and set something up for the MVP, I would think.
That's what's so bizarre is... And I listen, I'm a huge Michael Malone guy. I really believe in this guy. I think a lot of people, you know, start getting after him this time of year. But I'm telling you, man, this better than anybody. It seems like it's well-deserved when you have a situation like that. That is what a coach is there for, right, is to call a timeout, draw up a play. You can't get the ball to Joker. That's what the coach's job is to figure out, essentially, right?
Yeah, and I think the one argument that there is that you don't call a timeout is kind of what Malone said. They haven't been executing all game, but okay, you've got the ball in Jokic's hands. He got the rebound. He's bringing it up the floor. You're going to catch the defense off guard. But I just don't think they had enough time for something to develop that quickly. I mean, the only real choice there with that little time left is for Jokic to get the ball and dribble up the floor. And it was tough to just see him being able to get off a really quality look with how little time left there was.
So what's the plan? Nuggets got the Blazers tomorrow. Obviously, the easy solution is guards, especially. You got to hit shots. You got to hit outside shots. But what do you do as a head coach here, Harrison? I mean, you got to find a way to get to your MVP. Everyone, I guarantee you, Portland's busted into film from what the Clippers did. And if you can solve the Joker problem, as long as this team, which they haven't proven consistently, doesn't beat you, then you're going to be able to neutralize him and probably get away with a lot of wins over the Nuggets.
Yeah, well, there was just a lot of weird stuff that happened last night. We were just talking about not taking a timeout there late. Facu Campaso played 17 straight minutes to close the game last night. He checked in with 5 minutes left in the third. He played the entire fourth quarter. And he was terrible last night.
Yeah.
So I don't really understand that. And then there was the stretch in the third quarter where they went to a zone. LA went to a zone, and the Nuggets just had no answer for it. They couldn't get Jokic the ball. They couldn't hit threes. So you just got to hit some shots, and you've got to be waiting, you know, for those circumstances. They've got to have stuff ready to go for when teams deploy this double and this kind of zone-up defense around Jokic. They've got to have, you know, plays in the chamber to go to when this stuff happens. Because, like you said, it's going to continue to happen. This is how defenses are probably going to continue to play them.
And you're right. There were bizarre things happening. But the scary thing, I think, what you just said, fans are worried about the fact that, well, now the blueprint might be out. You've seen what the Clippers were. I mean, I'm watching Reggie Jackson buckle down and you just put a hip into the Joker and bracket. You're getting that bracket situation there, man. I mean, it just looked frantic, didn't it? Joker was like, how's the ball not in my hands right now? And then you had these guards running around, didn't know what to do. It was absolutely crazy. It did look a bit frantic.
Yeah, and you could tell just everybody was frustrated. Jokic was frustrated. Monte Morris was frustrated. It was just a really frustrating night. I'd say the good news is it's not like the sky is falling or anything. The Nuggets are still above 500. They're right in the thick of it. They've got this six-game homestand coming up, which I really think if Denver capitalizes, it can kind of be a momentum changer for this entire season. I mean, if they take care of business during this homestand, six-game, season-long homestand, it could be like a real momentum starter, I feel like. So they've got huge games coming up.
Yeah, no, they do. And I was really hoping that Clippers game, because again, the Clippers have a lot of guys out too. They have their studs out too. So I was hoping that would have been, you know, the third in a row for the Nuggets, and then they take it home and really put something together. But unfortunately, they got to kind of go back to the drawing board, figure this thing out. Portland Trailblazers, I mean, always seems to give them a pretty good game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, next to Utah, it's their top rival right now, although Portland's really down bad. I mean, if you think the Nuggets are down a little bad after last night's loss, just take a look at what's been going on with Portland. I think Damian Lillard's still out. It's another game like last night's was where Denver should win and needs to take care of business, because a lot of the frustration stemming from last night, it's not just like how the game went. It's what you were saying, Brady. It was a winnable game against a team that was like just as or maybe even more undermanned just based on who they could have available in the Clippers. It's a game the Nuggets were in position to win, and they didn't capitalize. And in a season like this where Denver's without Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., and others, they've got to capitalize on those wins. So there's another chance to get one tomorrow in a game they also should win. And it's important that they get the job done.
Where are you at on the whole Michael Malone thing, Harrison? Again, this is when you start seeing people get critical. Typically, we see it in the playoffs. If they're losing in a series, then it's like, oh, he's not the right guy to get him over the hump. This is a very difficult task, no question. You're without MPJ. You're without Jamal Murray, two guys that you've invested heavily in to be a part of the immediate future and the distant future. But that being said, does he get an excuse, or are you expecting him to figure this thing out? Or if he doesn't, is he perhaps on the hot seat?
I wouldn't go that far. I think Michael Malone's a really good coach, and a lot of Denver's success, I think you can credit him for, and he's played a big role in a lot of things. It's been a rough year just from an injury standpoint, and obviously it makes Michael Malone's job a lot tougher. I trust that he can right the ship and get this team back on track. I think he's done that enough times in the past where he deserves that. And so I still think he can get the job done. There's just been some weird stuff this season, like what I was saying earlier about the guys that he trusts. I mean, Faku is so clearly in that circle of trust with him where he played 17 straight minutes last night.
Yeah.
And so I think some of those walls might have to be broken. But all in all, I still think he's, you know, the guy for this team. I don't see really a hot seat situation developing. But, you know, he's definitely got to change up some things tactically, I think, and alter, you know, maybe some personnel stuff. But I think he can do it.
I agree with you, too. Like I said, it's hard for me to get to. I love what he's done in the past, and I think he's got a lot of breathing room, to be honest. But no doubt, if they want to make the best of this season, things are going to have to be figured out. Okay, Harrison, last one for you. It's a very serious question, okay? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Steph Curry said the 2015-16 Warriors could beat the 96 Bulls. What do you think?
With Kevin, is that the Kevin Durant team?
That's the Durant team. And he said they could beat him in a playoff series. He thinks in six, Warriors in six is what he said.
Yeah, I take Warriors.
You're taking the Warriors.
I'm taking them.
That three ball is deadly for you then, huh? That three ball takes care of business. Yeah.
I would take them for sure.
That is an interesting debate, though, isn't it? I mean, obviously, we'll never be able to really ever come close to knowing that information just based on stats is what we got. But there's got to be some way we can do like some simulation of some kind, some robot game, I'm sure, in the future. We'll get that at some point.
Oh, a robot game? Yeah. I'm here for that.
We'll probably have that in the next 10 years, man. Who knows? Just be ready. Harrison, appreciate you, my man. What are you working on that we can check out? I love your Nuggets stuff. I love, you know, you posted that last two-minute sequence, that the video, of course, from Altitude. You posted that up, and you kind of broke that down. I mean, that kind of summed up the game in a nutshell. So I love following you on Twitter, my man.
Yeah, appreciate it. I'm probably going to try to dig a little bit deeper into this defense that the Nuggets can't seem to figure out. See if I can figure it out.
All right, man. Well, I'll be here for it. Appreciate you as always. We'll try to catch up with you soon, okay?
All right. Take care.
All right. Harrison Wind of DNVR Nuggets. Boy, that's tough. That's a tough debate, isn't it? I was a little guy I was probably 10 when the Bulls were doing their thing. So I did get to watch the Bulls. I knew how great they were. The Warriors did break their regular season record, 73. They went to 73-9. The Bulls went 72-10. Here's the thing. The three ball is the great equalizer. If Golden State's knocking it down in that series the way they typically do, and especially that year, I mean, what are you talking about, AJL? You didn't see the Bulls, man. You were negative 18.
They won their sixth title like 10 days, either before or after I was born. It was during that summer, and my dad's a huge Bulls fan, so I've got all the knowledge about that era from my dad, and I'm just a Michael Jordan guy. Like,
I'm a Jordan guy, but at the end of the day, it's a simple math question. What's worth more, two or three?
Two. But, I mean, Michael Jordan, Kevin Durant, and Steph, like, they're great. But MJ's just the best.
He's the best.
And during that stretch of time,
he's the best. I'll give you that. Steph could have said he was better than Jordan, and I'd laugh in his face. But I tweeted about it last night, and I was like, this is laughable. And then I started thinking about it. Because, I mean, me, again, I'm 10, and I'm loving basketball. I'm a diehard Jordan fan. I've got 4 million Michael Jordan basketball cards that I thought were going to be worth so much. But when you have 4 million of something, typically it's because they're printing the hell out of those things. So it's worth nothing, my group of Jordan cards. I loved the Bulls. I respected the Warriors. That is a tough debate. Maybe we ought to make that a poll question. Let's do that. I'll put that up on the page on thewholeshow.com. So we'll get that during the break. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. This is fun, huh? All right, we already had the debate. Manning, Elway, who cares? I think we could all agree one of those guys would be great. That's fine. It's an ownership thing. They're not going to, hopefully it's not Jerry Jones type guy, and you're not going to have to worry about it. George Payton's going to be the guy under the microscope. The more important question today is, I'm sorry, it is. You were talking about it, Angel. Basketball, man. It's basketball season. We have some great stuff happening in basketball, both locally and nationally. Steph Curry goes off last night, or I don't know, maybe a week ago or something, but it was in a publication, and he said he thinks that the 2015-16 Warriors, we'll just say 2015, that was with Kevin Durant, would beat the Chicago Bulls, the 1996 Chicago Bulls, in a best-of-seven series. He thinks they would beat them in six. And again, some of us are going to have to use, even me, I loved the Bulls. I loved watching them, but I'm not going to sit there and tell you that I had everything charted out at that point. That wasn't 10-year-old Brady doing the whole show at that point. I mean, I might have been talking to myself and pretending I was on the air, but it would basically be like, Jordan, I love you, man. Who's winning? So you're easily saying the 96 Bulls.
Yes.
Okay, go vote at thewholeshow.com. I want to see where this goes. And right there, it's already 50-50. So go to thewholeshow.com and vote. I want to see where this ends. From the 303, Jordan would guard Curry. Probably. Yeah. But then you got Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant open. I'm looking at it. Dude, trust me, I was a diehard Bulls guy. Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, Steve Kerr, Tony Kukoc.
Wait, so would Steve Kerr be playing and coaching?
Yeah. Two different versions of him. That just now hit me for some reason. Yeah, Kerr, I guess, would be coaching. Who's coaching this team? That's right. You got two different versions there. Is it Ron Harper, another stud for the Bulls? That's your starting five. Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, Kerr, Kukoc, Harper. And then for their starting five was Curry, Durant, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala. Who the hell was their fifth? Livingston? Was it Livingston? Who's shooting the ball well at that point? I don't remember who that was.
I would love to see Rodman and Draymond Green just... I feel like there would be a fist fight every game between those two.
That would be fun, man.
So like, you couldn't even suspend them. They would just fight every game.
Yeah, that would be so much fun. That'd be two different styles of basketball.
I like Pippen on Durant.
So I gave up the sixth man too. That's what Harper would be, and then Livingston. So yeah, it'd be Jordan versus Curry, Durant and Pippen. That's a hell of a match, dude. This was. Let's make the robots here. This would be fun. So Rodman would go up against. You think Rod? So it'd be Rodman and Draymond. Who's guarding? Is it Steve Kerr versus who started? Did Kerr start or Tony Kukoc? Or was it Harper? I don't remember.
I feel like Kerr was coming off the bench at that point.
Yeah, he was coming off the bench. That's interesting, man. This is an interesting battle. Well, look at the coaches. Phil Jackson and Steve Kerr. I mean, Phil Jackson's a greater coach than Kerr, right?
He coached Kerr.
Yeah, he coached him, taught him everything he knows, and now here he is. In fairness, I mean, you could say the same thing about Jackson. He's had legendary teams. I mean, his titles have come from the Bulls and Kobe's Lakers. So if you want to say, well, Kerr got the Warriors and Steph Curry, and then in that time, he was great. Well, Phil Jackson, same thing. I always say this, man. It's just because you have studs on your team doesn't mean they're easy to coach. Do you think Draymond Green's easy to coach?
No.
Probably not. And Curry's got the baby face with the beard now, and Klay Thompson, but do you think there's ever a riff of, hey, Thompson's getting more like, probably not. Those guys seem pretty above board on that stuff, but like Andre Iguodala, was he tough to coach? That is a fun debate, man. Let's see where we are. I just refreshed. I'm curious to see how this thing ends. So that we just randomly threw that up. That's our Method Flow Products poll question of the day, available at thewholeshow.com. Who would win? The 96. Oh my goodness, it's going off now. 96 Bulls, 75%. To the 25% Golden State Warriors. Yeah. Well, this is what Curry said. He was asked about it. He said, absolutely. Obviously, we'll never know, but you put us on paper with them. I like our chances. I say dubs and six. The 2015 Warriors actually bested the 96 Bulls 72-10 record. I have a little basketball in my office. Michael Jordan, check it out when you're in there next time, Joe. My dad got it for me when it was McNichols Arena. Bulls played the Nuggets. You were hard-pressed to find any Nuggets memorabilia in there because it was Bulls, Jordan, Pippen, all that stuff. And I, of course, the same day I got a Rocky stuffed animal mascot. I begged my dad to get it for me, but I also wanted the basketball because it was the Michael Jordan. It showed all of his records that year, and then 72-10, and I wanted that one too. And my dad surprised me and hooked me up with both. I mean, that was a cool thing. They're both in my office to this day. And then they broke that record, 73-9. They didn't win the championship that year, though, because a lot of people thought maybe they pushed so hard to get that record. But that was a good basketball team. That 15, what was it, 15 and 16?
They started like 28-0, right?
Yeah, they were phenomenal. They didn't win, but that was when they were really, really good. But that whole stretch, you could say 2015 or 16, whatever. We know what we're saying. The same kind of group. Because you could really say 96 Bulls or 95 Bulls or whatever. Those teams were absolutely amazing. That's a hell of a debate, man. Go vote at thewholeshow.com. All right, we got playoffs coming up. Saturday, we got Saturday, Sunday, and a Monday night playoff game. You got Buffalo and the Pats. You got the Raiders and the Bengals coming up. How'd we do in the picks, by the way? We tied when you tweeted out your trash talk. Did you end up winning?
I think it was down to like two games because I didn't do the final after the Raiders Chargers game, but we were very close. We were tied after the first set.
I'm very curious to see how that went because we're doing our picks. I'm doing my picks for the weekend. I'm going to try to nail every one of them, 100%. That's my goal. It's like Happy Gilmore, just try to hit a hole in one every time. That is my golf strategy. That will also be my pick strategy when it comes to the NFL playoffs.
Okay. We tied.
We tied.
Because you had picked.
Fantastic.
You had picked New England, and I picked the Chargers.
Yeah, there you go. We balanced it out. We tied. Okay. Well, now we come down to the playoffs. So, taking a look at Saturday's games first. Well, the Bills and the Pats. Last time those two teams played each other, the Buffalo Bills won 33-21. Josh Allen had himself a day, 314 yards and three touchdowns. Mac Jones was terrible. He had 145 yards and two interceptions, no touchdowns. He was awful in that game. And you remember former Bronco Isaiah McKenzie lit it up. 11 receptions, 125 yards, and one touchdown. Is that going to be the way this thing goes down next time around? Bills and Pats. Boy, that's... The Patriots have been just... They've been interesting, right? I mean, there for a while, it looked like, boy, Mac Jones and company, they're just going to roll. They're going to do some major things this year. Belichick's going to even up with old Tommy Boy. But their last stretch after their bye week was week 14. They went 1-3 after the bye, losing to the Colts, the Bills, and your Dolphins in that final game of the season. They did beat Jacksonville 50-10. I love the Bills in this game.
I do too.
Yeah, I think
at home.
I think it's
first playoff game for Mac Jones. Like, that's a lot.
That's a lot, and he's been okay. He's been good within Belichick's offense. I know we got to take a break, don't we? I love the Bills. The Bills are 4-point favorites in this game. I love them to cover. I love the Bills to win that game and cover 4. Let's look at the final game. The next game, no, Raiders and Bengals next. 49 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Time to legendary broadcaster Jerry Schemmel this season for UNC basketball coverage. A Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jenny Kavanagh from AT&T Sports Tonight, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
I was at the GOAT on Friday. Ran over there. Really wanted a burger. I wanted their... They have those thick fries, too. You can do two different style of fries that you can order. And I went with, like, the thick. They almost look like potato chips. Oh, my goodness. That is a hell of a burger. Fries are amazing. Had a beer. Met with a client there. Tonight, check it out. You could go over there and watch the Colorado State-Utah State game. I'm sure that'll be up on the tube. Well, one of their tubes, 36 HD TVs. You can watch your favorite teams play. That's the GOAT, the sports bar in Greeley. But I'm telling you, the best one in Northern Colorado. We got one, finally, a locally owned and operated sports bar. That's the GOAT. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Who's winning the best of 7, the 96 Bulls or the 2015 Golden State Warriors? It is... It's just gone back and forth this whole time. 64.6 Bulls. Now it's 75%. 66.67% saying the Bulls. So go vote at thewholeshow.com. Love to know what you think there. Okay, so we both like the Bills to beat the Pats this Saturday. That's the Saturday slate of games. I like the Bills to cover in that one. Raiders and Bengals. The last time these two teams played in this season, that was a Bengals team that went off in the fourth quarter. They scored 19 points. They went scored 19-7. Ended up beating the Raiders 33-13. Derek Carr was average in that game. Burrow was average in that game. But Joe Mixon had 123 yards on the ground and two touchdowns. Raiders couldn't run the ball, couldn't pass the ball, didn't get much. So will that be the case this time around? I don't know, man. I'm kind of... getting high on the Raiders here. They are 5.5-point dogs, though. This game's in Cincinnati. Is this a game where Joe Burrow just goes off? Whew. What do you think? What do you got?
I think the Bengals are one of the hottest teams right now, yeah. Playing at home. They haven't had a playoff game at home in a long time. Joe Burrow, it looks like he's the guy. Jamar Chase, they're electric.
They're getting all the guys back.
The Raiders getting that win on Sunday night, I think that's going to give them some momentum into this one.
So you like the Raiders?
No, I like the Bengals.
Okay, you like the Bengals.
I think the Raiders are going to play a good game.
You think it's a good game? Raiders are 5.5-point dogs. I clearly like that. I like the 5.5 points. Take it. Run with it. I like the Raiders. I do. I like the Raiders to pull off the upset against Cincinnati. I feel like they're riding high, man. Okay, so that's going to do it. We got a big one tonight. This is my game of the week. Colorado State playing host to Utah State tonight. That game is huge. I want to see the bounce back. That's why it's my game of the week. A lot of people are mad at me because I didn't make CU and Arizona my game of the week for tomorrow. I get it. But this is, I always say it, the loss isn't the biggest deal in the world. It's how you respond after the loss. That's at 6 o'clock on CBS Sports Network, Utah State. CSU looking to get right back at it. That's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.